It's time for some Monday morning quarterbacking here on Newstalk 1400 DWS. You can reach us at 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line at 351-5357. Or you can email us at talk@wdws.com. Now, here are the Monday morning quarterbacks, Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate.
Good morning, everybody, and a welcome to our Monday morning quarterback session. Lots of things to talk about today. A Big Ten of football, the NFL, the President's Cup, the Hall of Fame ceremonies, and investigation and arrests involving basketball, recruiting, volleyball, soccer. On and on and on we go. Cubs winning the National Central Division, getting ready to play Washington. All kinds of things are going on, and not the least of which, Mr. Tate, happened this weekend. We had a lot of things. It was a big, big weekend. If we'd have just had a little better football game, we'd have been okay. But I thought the Hall of Fame thing was very, very good. And did you go to the tribute to Gary Winke yesterday?
Yes, I did, yeah.
How was that?
Oh, it's just packed.
Yeah.
Standing room only.
He had a lot of his former players.
Oh, yeah, a lot of the runners.
Shouldn't call them players.
Well,
runners.
You can't call them runners either. Yeah. They might be shot putters. But in any case, a lot of members of the track and field and a lot of tributes appropriately made toward Gary Winicky. Mm-hmm.
So all that packed into one weekend. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame ceremonies and really well done. I thought the State Farm Center looked terrific.
Wasn't it?
They had a theater style, like when they have the shows in there. A lot of people have been to those, know how they kind of quarter off the place. But it was beautifully done and so well organized, and so many people showed up. And we'll talk some detail about that as we go along as well. Let's see what J.R. has to say to begin things. Hi, J.R.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
We are doing great. How about you?
Well, I'm kind of depressed about that football team. Levy Smith's getting, what, $21 million? He can't get these people motivated to win a game?
Oh, man, they just don't have the talent. There isn't anything about motivation. It's just you're out there playing with what amounts to a freshman team. You're playing 17 freshmen. I mean, you expect them to beat somebody?
Yeah, I do. Lovie Smith's making a lot of money.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with the ability to perform. I mean, what are you going to do?
I mean, the poor kid got kicked out because he went to the head. Don't they train them guys to hit low?
Sure, but he hit low. What do you do when you hit low and the other guy gets low too?
Yeah, I just Lovie Smith's a nice guy, but, you know, a nice guy's finished last, and I hope that don't happen to Illinois.
Well, they're in a box with Lovey. They're stuck with him for 5-6 years here, and so, you know, when you're getting, he will be receiving in the neighborhood of $5 million a year, and that's a commitment. I mean, you have to stick with him, but we shouldn't be expecting anything right now.
Didn't he admit this team wasn't ready to play this Nebraska team?
Well,
he admitted that.
Well, that's just a comment. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, they had 2 weeks to prepare. They went out and tried to play against a team that's winning all those individual battles going on between the offense and defense. The other team's winning most of them.
Of course, the targeting is a concern, JR. That's one that the officials are emphasizing this year, and it's happening all over, whether it's in college or in the NFL or what. They aren't going to let people do that, and the people have been kicked out of games one right after another.
But it's not intentional.
They have an All-American receiver, and what did he catch? Three?
Two. Cut two.
Wow.
Now, I agree with you on that. We got to get that guy and get the ball to him more, and I don't know how we do that if we don't have a passer that can do it.
You don't think Jeff George Jr. is better than Krause?
Well, he's a better passer, that's for sure.
You guys have a great day.
Yeah, appreciate the call. That's a dilemma there, too. I mean,
it is.
We are a 20 or 18 or 20 point, depending on where you look, 18 or 20 point underdog at Iowa, and they have a terrific defensive team. I wonder if that's a place you put Jeff George in. I don't know. That would be kind of scary, wouldn't it? Let's see what Al has to say. Hello, Al.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. Tragedy in Vegas is just unbelievable. But that being aside, just a couple comments. You know, I called Saturday and voiced my displeasure with the coordinators, and that's not going to change. And I mean, it's a tragedy, a travesty that Jeff George did not see the field Saturday night. Halftime would have been a perfect spot, and he failed to do so. But as a season ticket holder for 40-some years, I'm just disappointed in the lack of enthusiasm. Looks like they're taking on the Lovie Smith attitude of being calm, and if you're going to do that, you shouldn't be playing football. And as a fan, that's what's disappointing to me is, like, there's no leaders on this team, from the coaching staff to the players, and that's very frustrating as a fan. And we shouldn't look that bad against Nebraska. I mean, that's not a good Nebraska team, guys. And play like that in front of the Hall of Fame people and the fans, and it's just very, very disappointing. And I'm just about to the end of my line with Illini. And it's sad for me to say because I've been a diehard for all these years, and I just want a bang for my buck when I go to the games, and I'm not getting it.
Were you realistic when you went there? I mean, what did you expect?
I was.
If you were realistic, you weren't expecting success.
Well, I expect to be competitive, Warren. Northern goes in there and beats them, and Rutgers plays them to 10 points. Come on. I mean, we're not that far behind Northern Illinois and Rutgers, I don't think. But again, it goes to coordinating, and you know my stance on those coordinators. I'm not sold on them, and they're going to have to do a heck of a lot to change my mind. So anyway, just they need to be tougher and more emotional, and that's what I want for my dollar to go to the game. So those are my comments. Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Yeah, glad you called, Al. Thank you. We're at 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Take our first break right here, Mr. Bond. We come right back. Phone lines are open. Talk football, basketball, anything you want to talk about. We're going to spend some time talking about the investigation and the arrests, of course, involving several coaches and others and basketball recruiting, that kind of thing. And whatever else you'd like to talk about as we do our Monday morning quarterbacking, coming back right after this. This is our Monday morning quarterback session. This is Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate taking your calls. We're at 356-9397. And you can send us a text at 351-5357. And who do we have there, Ed? Who's on one? Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
Just a general comment about Illinois football. I saw my first Illinois football game as a kid in 1949. I am still going to Illinois football games. The last few years, I never expect us to win, ever. If we do, that's a plus. What I do expect is some emotion, some enthusiasm, some excitement for the game of football. I don't see that in the last year with Lovie and this year. There was no emotion on that sideline or on the field, and that comes from the head coach. You know, he's as passionate, unpassionate, if that's a word, as anybody you could find in football, and the team's playing that way. I expect them, even if they have to fake it, act like you enjoy playing football, act like you're trying to win, and there's nothing out there right now. That's what's really disappointing. I know they're young kids. I don't expect them to win, but I sure as heck expect them to act like they want to win.
Well, I think those are good points. There's not much enthusiasm there. Maybe their expectations and yours are about the same. I mean, I think we all feel... My feeling about the game was that considering what Nebraska had done in the previous games, that we should show some fight, and I didn't expect to win, but we... should have had a much better game than that.
And, well, they're still Nebraska.
Yeah, that's true, but, you know, We make their passer look like the world's greatest, and he's been throwing interceptions all year long.
Yeah, the Northern Illinois game is used as an example, but he threw two interceptions that were returned for touchdowns in the first half, which turned that made it 14-0, turned that entire game around. Nebraska dominated that game from the second quarter all the way into the last 8 minutes or so, when Northern hit a big pass and scored the winning touchdown. But it was a game that, as I viewed it, I thought Nebraska dominated from a physical standpoint, but they didn't win the game. But go ahead.
Typically, when you have a young team, you know, a lot of freshmen, they're flying out there, flying around, hitting people. They're so fired up they can hardly stand it. Even our freshmen are just, there's just nothing there as far as the emotion and enthusiasm for the game. And I don't know, and for Lovie, you have a coach that gets you fired up. Even Tim Beckman to get after people. Lovie doesn't do that. The assistants don't. I watch some of the assistants, and they're just walking around, kind of talking to guys like they're in the office. Well, that's not the office. That's the sidelines of a football game, and that's what's disappointing.
Yeah, I think it's a hard thing to judge. What you're saying may be accurate. I think it's hard to judge what's inside of a person, what he feels. But Lovie is not connected with the players on the field. He is more toward the 50-yard line in some cases. I mean, standing, he's not with the group every time when they come off the field or anything like that. Or it just seems like he's aloof from the team.
I never see him say a word to anybody. Does he except maybe on the microphone to the people upstairs, but does he say anything to the players when they come off the field?
Well, it's not fair to me. I don't watch it all the time.
Well,
watch it, I don't see that, yes.
Okay. Good show, guys. Thanks for your time.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys. The list of all those people that went into the Hall of Fame was very interesting, but I could only match names up with about half of them. And I know most of the people around here, but it was and I didn't find any guide to who was who on that list, but maybe I can find out later.
What do you
they
mean?
Have an interesting
hold on a second. You mean you don't know who was in the Hall of Fame?
Right, the Hall of Fame. It had Red Grange up there. I know him, and I know Lou Boudreau, and I know Butkus, but a lot of them I don't know who they were, and I couldn't match a name up with the person.
You mean were you at the event?
No, I'm talking about the Gazette last Thursday or Friday when they.
Oh, yeah, they didn't identify everybody carefully. No. Like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it would have been nice to have that identified.
Yeah, I agree.
I got a great story. In the late '50s, I was taking a beginning speech course at the U of I. A.B. Grossfeld was in the class.
Oh, really?
Well, during the course of the semester, you have to give a demonstration speech. A.B. gets up front, starts his speech, and then grabs a hold of this old oak desk of the teacher's, gets upside down on it with a handstand, and proceeds to give his entire speech upside down about gymnastics. And it was the most fascinating speech I've ever seen. And I think he got an A for that. I'm not sure.
Oh, he ought to get an A.
That's an A+ there.
Man, was it interesting. That's my one great story out of the University of Illinois.
Well, that's I had not heard that one. That's one of the greatest ones I've heard. So he just how long was the speech, you think?
Well, I'm thinking 8 to 15 minutes.
He was on the handstand?
He did the whole handstand on top of the teacher's desk.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he was there yesterday.
Yep.
And
he made a nice speech.
He wasn't in his mid-80s, is he?
I don't think he's that old.
I don't know. He's not quite that old, but he's getting up there. As I looked at these people and as I remember them, and he was the least, that's the one person that if he walked in the door, I wouldn't know who it was. I don't know. He's changed quite a bit. I don't think he's done any handstands lately.
Thanks for taking my call.
That's a great story. Oh, my goodness. God, you'd think that would all run to your head and you'd keel over, wouldn't you? Bob is next. Hello, Bob.
Yes, this is Bob.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to find out about Illini basketball. LaRon Back, I can't find anything about what happened with him.
Well, he had a surgery on his right elbow and is going to be out for probably several weeks, although he's starting to he's working his way back, but he's not ready to play, obviously. When I saw him 2 weeks ago, it was in a sling, and now it's not in a sling, so he's getting there.
I just couldn't hear anything about him. I just wondered. I tried to look on the internet, couldn't find anything. I have another question, too, about Cardinal baseball.
Go ahead.
I've been a Cardinal fan for 70 years, and for the last 2 years, I've been totally sick of how they played. The general manager don't know when to trade players or when to get rid of them.
Well, he's got a lot of mediocre players, doesn't he? He's too deep, and I don't think they know who some of their starters are.
Yeah, well, you know, you look up there, I can't understand how a major league ball player can't hit the damn ball the other way on an outside pitch.
Well, I guess maybe when it's coming in 100 miles an hour, it's not easy to judge.
Well, you should be able to hit it easier over that way.
Well, maybe so, but I don't think it's easy to hit a round ball with a round bat.
I played for 40 years, and I know how to do it and stuff, and they should be able to do it.
Well,
and bunting is the easiest thing in the world if they just do it. Thank you, Lauren. Have
yeah,
a good day.
Yeah. If it was easy, they'd all be doing it, wouldn't they, Jim?
Yeah, it's a little of a different game than it was 40 years ago.
Let me get a comment in here because this is news, I think. Castleton, the Colin Castleton, the big center from Florida that Illinois was recruiting, and they thought they were number one with him as recently as 2 weeks ago, let's say, has committed to Michigan, I'm told. And nor will Condit be coming, the big center from Chicago. So they have missed out on those two, and we'll find out more about that later. But that's my information this morning, and it's kind of unfortunate to have the incident relative to basketball happening right now, the fraud bribery thing, where Illinois is kind of peripherally involved because Underwood was at Oklahoma State when Evans was, Lamont Evans, and therefore Evans is one of the four people that's been arrested. So they've missed out on those two guys, and I think the Castleton thing was very much the decision was very much involved with this case.
Well, if you're a young guy like these two are, and this comes out, and people around here are kind of wondering, well, we don't think the coach was involved in it. He wasn't mentioned in it. The University of Illinois was not mentioned in it. But, you know, then there will be some people say, well, how would he not know? His assistant coach is there. And there's that little doubt.
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty. And if you got a list and have a line drawn down the middle and here are the yays and here are the nays, you're going to have to switch Illinois over to the nay column, or at least that part of it, which may be enough to cause you to make your decision.
I think that's what happened with Castleton, but I can't be 100% sure he wouldn't have chosen Michigan anyway. But Beilein had him in tow there at the end, and somebody, I'm sure people, I think he probably was a little bit afraid of coming to Illinois.
Well, that's too bad if that's the case, but he's
timing
wrong.
Just timing is just terrible.
Well, can we take another call here, or should we go to news? I should tell you that we're going to break away here whenever they tell us that it's happening. The president is going to talk about the mass shooting in Las Vegas in just a while, and this is the worst one in the history of this country, and we're going to see what the president has to say about that coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's, in the meantime, go to Alan. Hello, Alan.
Hello, guys. Well, that's just par for the course for Illinois, it seems like. Who was the player you said that was hurt in the sling, Lauren?
LaRon Back. But okay. He's on the road to recovery. I think he had that surgery roughly 2 weeks ago. I don't know exactly the date, but he's working his way back, and he'll be, I'm sure he'll be ready for the first game, but he's not ready for the first practices.
Okay. Now on the football, as I alluded to Saturday morning with you, Lauren, and, I didn't stay for the whole game. I left before the halftime. I got the 14-3, and you just knew they weren't going to come back. I mean, I don't know what the offensive coordinator was trying to do. Dudek was not on the field. Smalling was on the field less. And they brought some new guys in I've never seen before, never heard of. And, yeah, we ran the ball, got it down to inside the 10-yard line. But after that, we were done because we can't throw the ball. Now, if Aaron Rodgers was down there, you just wonder who it's going to because you knew they was going to score. But with us, if we can't throw the ball in the red zone, we're not going to get a touchdown and we're not going to win. So I just think Josh Whitman is whipped on Lovey already. I know it's only a year and a half, but I just don't see it getting any better, especially with the coordinators we got. I don't understand what they're doing or what they're trying to do.
Okay, appreciate it, Alan. We're going to need to go to the news here with Brian Barnhart, and we'll be hearing the president whenever they tell us he's ready. Those things always run late, but here's Brian. He's not late. And we continue with our Monday morning quarterback session, waiting for President Trump to have something to say about what happened in Las Vegas. In the meantime, we continue. Illinois football is a battle for the bottom of the Big Ten. That will be decided when Rutgers comes to town. Our team is circled as a win on the opponent's schedule. It's sad, says Eric in Champaign. And another text, we need to thank the 10,000-plus Nebraska fans for making it look like a turnout. The $20 ticket is just a fraction of what it would cost them at home. The extra revenue will help Lovey and his staff salary.
I was going to say, you know, everybody's overlooking the fact how young this team is. The other youngest team in the country is LSU. How are they doing?
Well, they got beat again, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, who? Vic Koning was right in the middle of that. He's the defensive coordinator for Troy. Troy had them shut out for a long time, had them down 17-0. I think they wound up winning about 24-21. But Vic has had some really good wins in his career.
Yeah, Troy intercepted a pass right at the end of the game, the final minute of the game, to seal the victory. And the coach says it's he says the biggest victory in the history of the school.
Oh yeah,
he said we've got some NFL players on our team. He admitted that. He said we got some NFL players on our team. People don't know that. His post-game interview was just really interesting. Some of the things he had to say about it was not coach speak. He just he said some things about his team and about the game and about how much it meant and all that.
There's so many players in the South, and if you look at how many players there are in Florida, Central Florida is really good. Southern Florida is really good. South Florida. Florida State's still good, even though they've lost a couple of games. Miami's really good. The University of, come on. I mean, that's where the talent is. It's not even close up here. It's not even in the realm of closeness. That's where all the ability is. That's where all the speed is.
Iowa is a 20-point favorite in what I'm looking at here in the Tribune this morning. And Penn State is a 14, a favorite at Northwestern. Ohio State is a 31-point favorite over Maryland. Purdue is 3 over Minnesota. Michigan 12.5 over Michigan State. And Wisconsin 12.5 in a game to be played at Nebraska. So those are the odds for the upcoming games, and other things have been going on. The President's Cup was won easily over, I guess you'd call it, the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And it was Steve Stricker, the captain of that team. He said, all you got to do is turn them loose. I don't know. What do you tell guys like that?
I don't think you work with their swings.
No.
You just tell them, do your best.
And somebody had said, oh, we could have sent any three guys out there and won that thing quickly and the last day in this kind of talking, and Jordan Spieth says, as long as one of them wasn't me, he had a real bad time, I guess, in the Cup. I didn't follow it that closely, but that would be one of the few times that he did that. What else is going on with this recruiting problem or this investigation and all these arrests? And you sent me a column by, who was that at Yahoo Sports?
Pete Thames.
And
Pete Thamel. I'm thinking Thames. I keep getting it mixed up with the river in London.
Well, that's a Thames.
Yeah, well, I know.
But that was a Thamel. Real long, and if you read, maybe you have by now, but you can go online any number of places and find real long stories, just almost a play-by-play of what the investigation was like. And boy, they don't have these guys caught red-handed. First of all, they've got so much of it on tape, and they've got all kinds of people that are just standing there now or just wondering and talking to their own attorneys about, okay, I know I'm going to be guilty here. I've been arrested. I'm going to be guilty. Something's going to happen. What can I say about others? I know people squeal, so to speak, and so I'm happy to make a deal. And, boy, when they start doing that, this thing may turn into, it's already has the makings of the biggest scandal ever in college basketball.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think this will be the biggest one. But just think now, in your day, John Dewey was the investigator for the Big Ten, remember? The NCAA had several, obviously more, but there are 35,000 FBI agents involved. You got IRS involved. If you receive money, you better account for it with the IRS, hadn't you? I mean, so you got FBI, IRS. I mean, there's no telling how far this thing goes. People got to talk, otherwise you're going to go to jail.
The feds win most of their cases. they don't bring them unless they've got the goods on you.
You can't get a subpoena from a judge unless you present that judge with plenty of evidence that you deserve that subpoena, right? Mm. I mean, that's the point of getting a subpoena. I mean, you just can't walk up and just say, well, I want a subpoena. No, you got to present the evidence for it. And the fact that they've been able to do that would indicate they had plenty going in. Because, of course, they had one guy that had already turned over, one guy that had already swung for them in advance.
Well, that's how it all got started.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the key to everything, is having somebody that'll talk. And the only reason he talked is because he was caught red-handed.
He was going to go to a jail for two lifetimes.
Yeah.
They really had him.
He was a crooked financial advisor.
Well, let's see what else we have here from Ted. From Ted, Lovey and Shad Khan are both welcome to relocate to England and count their piles of American-made money and discuss their views of the American flag and patriotism. So people still talking about that. Looked to me like fewer NFL teams were doing what they did the week before.
Yeah, I think it's going to become routine that some are going to kneel and some are going to stand and some are going to lock arms, and whatever they do, the games will go on. I think the idea of kneeling in advance probably gets their point across and doesn't get you involved with the national anthem.
Yeah, and the fact that some teams, the college teams, like at Illinois, for example, they don't come out for the national anthem at all. That's one way of...
But next Saturday at Iowa, they'll both be out.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. But I don't think it... I think it's going to become pretty much routine, and I don't know how effective it's going to be or how it has been. I think it has been effective to a certain getting the word out, but
got people talking about it.
Sure.
I guess that was one idea, and Trump kind of pushed him over the edge when he called them SOBs.
Yeah, he certainly did.
prior to that, they had not done much. Kaepernick had done it, and a few other players had done it, but it wasn't a big team thing where everybody was involved in it until he came out with that statement.
Teams want to be unified. That's sport. You have to have a unified front.
I've been talking about the Woods Basement Systems for a long time now, over 10 years. This year, Woods is celebrating their 31st year in business. Are all basement or crawl space wall cracks a problem? Well, I'm talking about the foundation walls of your home. 2 minutes, is that what we have, Ed? Okay. Woods knows all about leaking basement wall cracks, but did you know that crawl space wall cracks can let water leak into your crawl space? Most of that water gets trapped on top of the vapor barrier, too, and it evaporates up and into your home. Mold loves that. And your air conditioning will be running so much longer and so much harder, so that's double trouble. Get a free estimate from Woods and fix those basement and crawl space cracks once and for all. Over the years, Woods has acquired several awards for their basement finishing projects and their crawl space encapsulation system, but they are the proudest of their Better Business Bureau Torch Awards, which are given for ethics. Remember, Woods estimates do not cost you anything. So how much is it going to cost you not to fix the problem? Call Woods Basement Systems for your free estimate today at 888-935-4333 or go online to woodsbasementsystems.com. That's 888-935-4333 or woodsbasementsystems.com. Again, we're awaiting President Trump, who's going to talk about Las Vegas, which people are calling the worst in the history of this country. And I'm sure you've heard all about it and read about it and listened to news broadcasts about it up until this point. And now the president has decided that he is going to make a statement about that. And we're going to break in here in just a minute or so to let you hear what he has to say. Then when that's over, we'll come back and continue our Monday morning quarterbacking up until 11 o'clock this morning. These decisions are not easy to make, but most of the time we would probably pass on what the president had to say and wait for until the next newscast to find out what he had to say. But this case is a little different, and we have decided that it's something that we should let you hear as soon as it happens. And the problem is, going to CBS, is that they'll tell you a certain time, and then it won't happen. Is that what happened here? Our 2 minutes have gone by. So we'll just go back to the phones and we can cut that off. Art, go ahead. May have to cut you off if the president comes on, but go ahead. Rather hear you anyway.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind taking second place for the president.
What's up?
I just had a question concerning this induction into the first University of Illinois Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Who made the decision on the 28th?
I think that Josh Whitman made a decision on the number, and he had a committee that gave him recommendations for those positions.
How could Lou Hansen not be in the first class?
Well, he wasn't selected. I mean, how else can I say that?
Yeah, but I mean, I would have thought he would have been one of the first five.
Well,
not the first.
Well, when you consider the people that were in there, it'd be tough to be in the first five if you're talking about Zupke and Hallis. And the problem with this first one, this first Hall of Fame, is that you go back to the very beginning. There has not been one in the past. But we're going now. Well, you can call us back afterwards, Art. We're going to CBS News.
Tonight, a gunman opened fire on a large crowd at a country music concert in Las Vegas, Nevada. He brutally murdered more than 50 people and wounded hundreds more. It was an act of pure evil. The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security are working closely with local authorities to assist with the investigation, and they will provide updates as to the investigation and how it develops. I want to thank the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and all of the first responders for their courageous efforts and for helping to save the lives of so many. The speed with which they acted is miraculous and prevented further loss of life. To have found the shooter so quickly after the first shots were fired is something for which we will always be thankful and grateful. It shows what true professionalism is all about. Hundreds of our fellow citizens are now mourning the sudden loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a brother or sister. We cannot fathom their pain. We cannot imagine their loss. To the families of the victims, we are praying for you, and we are here for you. And we ask God to help see you through this very dark period. Scripture teaches us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We seek comfort in those words, for we know that God lives in the hearts of those who grieve. To the wounded who are now recovering in hospitals, we are praying for your full and speedy recovery and pledge to you our support from this day forward. In memory of the fallen, I have directed that our great flag be flown at half-staff. I will be visiting Las Vegas on Wednesday to meet with law enforcement, first responders, and the families of the victims. In moments of tragedy and horror, America comes together as one, and it always has. We call upon the bonds that unite us, our faith, our family, and our shared values. We call upon the bonds of citizenship, the ties of community, and the comfort of our common humanity. Our unity cannot be shattered by evil. Our bonds cannot be broken by violence. And though we feel such great anger at the senseless murder of our fellow citizens, it is our love that defines us today and always will, forever. In times such as these, I know we are searching for some kind of meaning in the chaos, some kind of light in the darkness. The answers do not come easy. But we can take solace knowing that even the darkest space can be brightened by a single light, and even the most terrible despair can be illuminated by a single ray of hope. Melania and I are praying for every American who has been hurt, wounded, or lost the ones they love so dearly in this terrible, terrible attack. We pray for the entire nation to find unity and peace, and we pray for the day when evil is banished and the innocent are safe from hatred and from fear. May God bless the souls of the lives that are lost. May God give us the grace of healing, and may God provide the grieving families with strength to carry on. Thank you. God bless America. Thank you.
President Trump talking about the massacre in Las Vegas. 9:55, 71 degrees. We take a quick break. Coming right back. We're back on our Monday morning quarterback show. We're at 356-9397. And you can send us a text at 351-5357. The gentleman we had on, and he's welcome to a call back. We had to interrupt him when we went to the president, was talking about the Hall of Fame. Lou Henson is already tabbed as number one for the next Hall of Fame.
I think the reaction to the fact that he wasn't in the first Hall of Fame led to Josh Whitman announcing that Lou would be the first in the next Hall of Fame. And Lou was announced in Chicago back there in June when he was present for the induction in Chicago of this group.
Mm-hmm. And he was present yesterday as well. Some of the things that I thought about at that induction ceremony, we're going to have about a minute here. We can talk about it more later if people would like to. Maybe you know by now that Dick Butkus became very emotional during the time and just got the biggest ovation both before and after his speech. But we've all been following Dick Butkus and how mean and awful and how tough he is and how he didn't say very much. He just went out and beat the brains out of everybody he played against. And then suddenly yesterday he said, "I'm home," and he began to cry a little bit. We're going to CBS News more after that. And a welcome back to our second hour of Monday Morning Quarterbacking. We're at 356-9397, and Art has been waiting. Hello, Art.
The only point I wanted to make is that we ought to give it to the guy while he's still alive. With the health problems that he's had, posthumously is just not the same thing.
Well, he knows he's on, so that part has been done. I mean, as far as selecting him, and we're talking about Lou Henson, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Art. Dan says, in regards to the NCAA basketball scandal, I am personally excited and glad that this has come into light. I believe if recruiting was equal across the landscape, that Bruce Weber would still be our coach. Also, I heard on the Dan Dockage show on Friday that nobody should be surprised to see college coaches get arrested and hauled off to jail during the games. That'd make quite a sight, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but that seems kind of... But
I don't know. They've, you know, I suppose that is their workplace, and there have been dozens of examples where the feds have burst into a person's office.
Yeah,
and grabbed him and handcuffed him and took him out.
It could happen, I guess, but I just think probably you've got plenty of time to arrest him otherwise, where you wouldn't.
Well, the same could have been said for those money grabbers, the guys that were charged with stealing other people's money and. I doubt very much. There haven't been any head coaches. Nay, I suppose you could go grab an assistant coach or whoever it was.
Well, it's very interesting now as we watch the situation at Auburn and the situation in Arizona and Southern Cal, just exactly what those assistant coaches will have to say about their head coaches. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows yet. And we don't know for sure. I know for a fact that some coaches have been contacted by the FBI in this case, and I know that those coaches have information that they didn't give because they basically said, "I don't know." Now, coaches are going to say, "I don't know," in a lot of these, even though, because nobody wants to be the one. Even though, even as this thing breaks, there are a lot of coaches who stick by their old system of just not accusing anybody of anything because they don't want to be accused themselves, I guess. I don't know how many people are involved, but I keep coming back to this one thought, Jim. If you are offering Brian Bolin, by the way, Brian has gotten an attorney. He's going to try to get his eligibility back at Louisville, but... If you're offering one player $100,000, what does that mean? That means you're in competition with other people and you've offered more than the other people, right? I mean, somebody offered him 50, didn't they? You wouldn't offer him 100 if you didn't have to. The only reason you're offering him 100 because you're trying to win. It's a competition. Adidas, Nike, Under Armour are all in competition.
Be interesting to see. Adidas is getting all the bad publicity here. Be interesting to see what happens with
well,
Nike's
already had a. FBI's already.
Yeah, I know they've.
They've taken the books of Nike. I guess they're gone into them. At least I don't know what they've done exactly, but they have invaded Nike.
Let's go to Jim. Hi, Jim.
Yes, I got a little quarrel or argument with Lauren.
Okay.
Lauren, I've read your columns faithfully ever since you started writing in 67 there. You're celebrating 50 years.
Yeah.
And I, 99% of the time, are in agreement with you. But yesterday, sir,
okay,
in your column, you had a swing and a miss. And in fact, you struck out when you said that Colin Kaepernick did not have any intentions of disrespecting the flag. You must have been out in Mars somewhere when you... Didn't you read what he said? Yeah. I cannot stand for the flag or
yes.
the national anthem that are discriminating, the police are discriminating and shooting the blacks. Now, if that isn't disrespecting... I mean, Lauren, let me say this, and then I'll let you... it'd be like me taking a gun and shooting you and saying, well, I really didn't intend to kill him. I just wanted to wound him.
Wait a minute. Hang on. I think you're right. I think I made a mistake.
Okay? All right. Yeah, as long as you accept it, because I really respect your columns.
Wait a minute. I've already said I made a mistake. Now, what I did was... Take the word of some. I read somebody else saying that he didn't mean that. Well, he didn't mean. He said that he disrespected the flag. He said that, and I didn't realize that that's what he said back then, a year ago. And you're right. You're absolutely right. I shouldn't have presented it that way. And I was upset about it yesterday. And I realized I wrote that a week ago, I definitely made a mistake, and I wish I hadn't. But I took the word of another person who wrote to the effect that he really wanted he really didn't disrespect the flag. He simply wanted to do something about police brutality and
you should have wrote it from the beginning because you've seen that he knelt down. In respect, you know, these guys, and you say they're not prima donnas, they are.
No, they're not.
For anybody the blacks have died for that flag.
I understand these guys
are 21, 22, 28, 30 years old. They have no clue what those boys, I've got a brother-in-law, I was over in Korea, luckily I didn't have to fight. I got a brother-in-law. It's been 18 months in the hospital. His leg was, they wanted to take his leg off. He's been 18 months in there. He's got 3 bronze stars, a silver star, and all that. And how do you think these people, I can't believe that we're even thinking about this stuff.
I know we got to get off this, but I want to say that he made a definite statement that this was not anti-military. He did say that, and probably I remembered that. And I thought that that meant he didn't disrespect the flag, but I read that in another article, and it was inaccurate, and I'm inaccurate.
Okay. All right. I think we've established that. We're at 356-9397, and our text line is 351-5357. And Fox News says a witness on the first responders, in a world where everyone is kneeling, I saw hundreds of people standing up and running toward the danger. Talking about Las Vegas. Right to 356-9397 at 1020 at 72 degrees at the Radio Center. Ensure your family is taken care of and your financial goals are met after you're gone. The experienced team of financial advisors at Busey Wealth Management can help you. 64% of people don't have a will, and 55% of individuals with children don't either, according to LexisNexis. must-dos in estate planning. Whether you fear the unthinkable or just putting aside estate planning at the bottom of your to-do list, here are the must-dos to ensure clarity and peace of mind. Don't delay. Create your plan today. Ensure that financial dependents are taken care of and you're able to handle the unexpected. Identify assets. Evaluate and determine what exactly you will leave your family. Make your wishes known permanently. A will can help distribute property, name guardians for children, and outline an executor. Be open and honest with loved ones. As daunting or uncomfortable as it may be, an honest conversation about asset distribution and financial transition is essential. And adapt a plan over time, a quick review annually and a thorough review every 5 years. Establish a timeless legacy through a charitable fund or foundation. Consult the professionals at Busey Wealth Management. Speak with their team of experienced financial advisors at 1-800-67-BUSEY or visit busey.com. Frank is next. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. I just wondered, has the university changed the admission requirements? I really thought when Lovie Smith was made coach that that would be an issue, and that some changes so that we're on the same level playing field. Has that been done yet?
I don't think so. The problem is that we've changed. I think Weiss, when she was chancellor, was very close to making some adjustments. I was told this. And then she was basically ousted, and then we've had interim, and then we had, obviously we have a new chancellor now who's been here a year. And I just don't think that anything has been done, but I know that that's something that Josh Whitman is aware of. And I think that they're probably attempting to make some adjustments. I think that's something that, Lovie's new too, and the previous staff was aware of the academic problems. I don't know where they stand presently.
Well, it just seems that that should be a high priority if we really want to give the coach a proper chance.
Let me tell you what's high priority. Getting people in here that stay here in every position, whether it's chancellor or athletic director, football coach. When you have new people, you're starting over all the time.
Well, I entirely agree, and until we're putting redshirt seniors out on the field versus the other teams that are doing so.
Yeah, we're playing 18-year-olds against 18- and 19-year-olds against 22-year-olds, and it doesn't work.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Tony is next. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Do you guys know the long snapper, his last name's Boyer, who used to be a Green Beret, who sat down with Kaepernick and told him to start kneeling? It was on August 30th, 2016. Have you read that story?
I have not, no.
Yeah, you should look that up. Like I told you last week, I truly believe that they shouldn't even play the national anthem at these ball games. It should be played for more important things, like when soldiers come home from war, Independence Day. I mean, it's a ball game, but you got to look. So Colin Kaepernick flew to have a meeting with Mr. Boyer, who was a Green Beret, and now he's a long snapper in the NFL. And Mr. Boyer wrote a letter saying how he didn't like the fact that, because Colin Kaepernick started setting. He was just sitting on the bench for 2 weeks before the media got a hold of him sitting on the bench.
Nobody noticed.
Okay? And yeah, no one noticed. And then Boyer met with Colin Kaepernick and told him he would like him to start kneeling. So that's exactly what Kaepernick did. So like this old guy, get on you, Lauren. Like I said, if I were Shad Khan, I would play something else instead of the national anthem. Why do we have to overplay it? If you love the Beatles, but you have to play it every day, you get sick of it, right? And it's a very important, I understand that, to our country. Like right now, what happened in Las Vegas today, that's a time when we need to play the national anthem, not at a football game. It's something very important.
Well, it started during World War. I shouldn't say it started during World War II. It became popular during World War II. It had already been done, but then during World War II, it's been steady ever since. I don't think there's ever been a gym. I don't think there's been a game since World War II that hadn't been played. Do you?
That's not just college or professional games. They play at high school games. And
But why do they have to?
Well, it's just tradition, I guess.
Right. Well, it was tradition to plow our fields with a horse and buggy, too, but we don't do that anymore.
You think they should play it when people win prizes, like at the Olympic Games?
Yes, that's important, because that only happens once every 4 years. But on a baseball game, when there's 162 baseball games, and most of them are meaningless, like, I'm okay with playing at the World Series or the Super Bowl, like important games, but when you play it constantly every day, I think it diminishes it.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion. There'd be a lot of veterans that would not agree with you. That's a group of people that have gone through a lot, as we all know, and they resent those kind of statements. Rudy is next. Hi, Rudy.
Hi, guys. How are you? Just a short comment on the flag and the national anthem. I am all for it and all for standing. And that being said, I have a short little story about the Hall of Famer Buddy Young, who was a good friend of my father's, who was Bill Huber from Tuscola, Illinois.
Wow.
And Buddy and Dad became closer as they got older in their years, and Buddy and Geraldine, his wife, would always stop and stay with Mom and Dad when they were in the area for a couple, 3 days, and always had great stories. But one thing that always happened when Buddy was around was in the middle of a meal or after supper, or he might just burst out and start singing Hail to the Orange. And he was so appreciative of what the university had given him, and he just, you know, that was just part of his way of, I think, giving back and honoring his alma mater. So he was, you know, and then he ended up working for the NFL under Pete Rozelle, and then was killed in an auto accident quite a few years ago. So, they were kind of peas in a pod there for a while, my dad and Buddy, and it was kind of the long and the short of it. And I remember, and I believe this, Drew Lorne may know this for sure, but my dad had said that Buddy, when he was a senior in high school, and I think he went to Bloom High School in Chicago.
Oh, no, Chicago Phillips, didn't he?
Chicago Phillips. And he was down here at State Track Meet, and he scored enough points on his own to win the state track meet. He won the 100, the 200, the long jump, and anchored the relay.
Yeah.
So, but he was quite a guy. So, I just thought that was something that some of our listeners and Patriots would like to hear.
And you know he is in the Hall of Fame, the Illinois Hall of Fame. He was one of the and they had quite a tribute to him, and a lot of things. I'm going to read some things from the program here just quickly. Buddy Young is a football and a track star, standing just 5'4". Had exceptional quickness and acceleration on the track. He won the NCAA titles in the 100 and the 220-yard dashes, tied the world record for the 45 and 60-yard dashes, 6.1 in the latter, was the AAU 100-meter champion, inducted as a member of the College Football Hall of Fame in 1968. After his stint in the Navy, he returned to Illinois and helped the Illini win the 1946 Big Ten football title, the 1947 Rose Bowl against UCLA, where he earned co-MVP players. He later was named to the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. He was a trailblazer as one of the first African-American players in the NFL. He played 10 years in pro football, was the first Baltimore Colt to have his number retired. In 1966, he became the first African-American executive hired by the NFL. At his death in 1983, in a car accident, he was 58 years old, director of player relations for the NFL. I remember seeing back in those days, they had the college all-stars played the winning NFL team in a game at Soldier Field.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy Young was sensational in that game. He played, I believe he played in that game.
For the college team?
For the college team.
Okay.
Yeah. And, yes, indeed, he is in the Illinois Football.
It just shocked me when you said he died in 1983. My goodness, yeah, that's a long time ago.
And when the gentleman said that he was just so appreciative of what the University of Illinois had done for him, I hope that he was at the Hall of Fame activity, because every person that came up there had something to say about that topic, what the University of Illinois meant to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You did have his grandson on the video.
Yeah, what?
They had Buddy's grandson on the video. Talking about his grandfather.
One of the most amazing things that was said all afternoon, in my opinion, was when Manny Jackson gave plaudits to Howie Brown. Didn't that surprise you?
Well, I mean, yeah.
You know how people felt about Howie. He was a mean guy, and he talked tough to guys and so forth. And just quickly, Manny said that it was the most meaningful thing that somebody had ever seen, had ever said to him. It was in his first college game. He was at Butler. He had scored 26 points.
Yeah.
And he was walking off feeling pretty good. And Howie says, listen, this is not about you. This is about the others. This is about people around you and things like that. Manny said, I never forgot that.
Yeah. You know, the nicest thing Howie Brown ever said about me?
What?
The nicest thing, and I knew him all my career, you know, I knew him for 50 years. The nicest thing he ever said was, Lauren, if I'd had to coach you, I'd have lost my job.
He once told, I believe it was, could have been Wessels, somebody.
Oh.
The guy, I remember the game was at Marquette, and he was talking to him, I think it was John Wessels. And he asked him, he says, are your shoes tied too tight? And he said, no. He said, well, you're white from the ankles up. It was before the game started. He hadn't played much and so on. Or maybe it was his first game. I don't know. Oh, Howie Brown. Anyway, I was glad to hear Manny come up with that name and have so many good things to say about him. We've got to go to the news here. We'll come right back after that and continue with our Monday morning quarterbacking. Here's Brian. We're back with our Monday morning quarterback session, Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate. One other thing I wanted to mention was a remarkable job by Mrs. McCaskey at that Hall of Fame thing. Here is a lady that was able to go up there. She had a little help walking, not much. She got up to the mic and stood there and made a nice little speech. And the most interesting part was that she was... she knew all these people. She grew up with them. They were, you know, when you say Zupke and Grange and people, Hallis and people like that, she was, you know, friends and neighbors.
Absolutely.
And to have somebody at that age be able to recall and be able to talk as well as she did, I thought she was really sensational.
She was. She was really good.
Suspended basketball coach Rick Pitino in his first interview since being put on unpaid leave, said he's selling his house in Louisville, but he's laying low, and he vowed that he would be vindicated of all the allegations by federal investigators in a fraud and corruption case. Pitino told the Courier-Journal that he has zero to do with any of it. Pitino was not named in the federal complaint, but ABC News reported Thursday that he is Coach 2, alleged to have played a role in funneling $100,000 through a recruit identified as Brian Bowen, that you mentioned a little while ago. The interim Louisville president, Greg Postal, placed Pitino and athletic director Tom Jurek on leave on Wednesday and placed a player identified by ESPN as Bowen on indefinite suspension. And he introduced David Padgett as the Cardinals' interim basketball coach on Friday. According to his contract, Pitino must be given 10 days' notice before any firing can be official. His lawyer, Steve Pence, says he will fight the dismissal. Right now it's in the lawyer's hands, Pitino said. I went to Miami. I'm selling my house in Louisville. I love Dave Padgett. I love the boys. I hope they win the national championship. But I'm not doing anything right now but laying low. Documents in the federal investigation said the Adidas executive Jim Gatto, who was arrested on Tuesday, spoke directly with Coach 2, that's Pitino, multiple times in the days before Bowen publicly committed to Louisville. Pitino said he was discussing former Louisville player Terry Rozier's sponsorship with Adidas in those phone calls.
Well, they don't have any. They don't know what was said in the phone calls. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe Gatto will have something to say, but what they had was in the midst of that recruitment, there was discussion. There, Gatto was discussing it with assistant coaches and making the deal, and then somehow in their discussion, they brought up the fact that, boy, if we can just get Patino involved here, he's the big dog, he can really swing this thing. And then they have phone calls. These were not wiretapped. They have phone calls between Gatto and Patino that nobody knows what was said. I bet we don't know what was said. So I don't know if they – is that enough? I mean, he's fired.
He has gotten out of more scrapes than anybody, any one guy.
Well, maybe he didn't know about it. I mean, it is possible. Until somebody proves that he absolutely knew about it, I mean, he's – I don't know whether you – there's going to be a real battle over that $46 million. That's what Louisville owes him. And I don't – they've got a – hasn't he done enough that was detrimental to the school for them to be able to withhold that pay? I'm sure that's in a clause in his contract.
No, we'd have to. Yeah, we have to know exactly what's in the contract, but that's probably in there.
Yeah, it's
that's
in
most contracts.
Yeah, and I would think that this would be something that that will be harangued out in court over a long period of time, because those attorneys get a portion of that, Jim. So they're going to fight for it.
Let's stretch this baby out. 10:44, 75 degrees. As we take this quick break. This is our Monday morning quarterback session. Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate here. And Doug is next. Hi, Doug.
Hi, gentlemen. How you doing?
We're doing great. What's going on with you, Doug?
Well, I know you guys have covered this, but I didn't hear the first part of the show.
Shame on you.
I know. But I'm stunned that we have a coach, and I like Lovie Smith, don't get me wrong, that the most dynamic players on our offense are our wide receivers and Mike Epstein. And if you can't throw the ball, you're not going to score against anybody, because we're not going to beat anybody up on the line to open holes all game long. And every time you throw the ball, and Mike Dudek, he knocks himself out to catch the ball, makes some impossible catches, and he's a punt returner for a reason. So the long and the short of it is we may eventually be Ohio State, because we do have some very talented players on defense. We're getting faster. But, man, I'm telling you, it's one of the most discouraging things I've ever been through watching a game, because it's such a waste of talent. You've got to put George in, and you've got to let him pass the ball. I think it's great to have a run-first philosophy, but we don't have the players to do that. We've got some unbelievable athletes on the outside, and Epstein, give them the ball. Let them do something.
You know, it's interesting that Lovie said in the postgame, he says, we're not a passing team. He said that. I don't know what it means, but that's what he said.
Well, he's right, because he doesn't pass it.
But he can't
protect.
Well, he says they can't protect. That's what he says.
Well, I don't really care. They can't run. And here's the funny part.
Now, hold on a minute. Now, they made two really good marches purely. They ran 18 of the first 20 plays. They were not dominated early. They marched all the way to the three-yard line. I mean, they had a strategy of running. I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying that's what it was.
Well, I think that's a good point, and I'm not taking that away. The only issue I have is when you have a Division I quarterback who throws 15 passes a game, and can only get 99 yards, that sounds like what we were doing with, Mike McCray, Kopats, Steve Green, back when Blackman, Jeff Crystal, Lonnie Perrin, Reeve Sori. I mean, it's the exact same thing. Those guys would throw 17 times, complete six for 74 yards. I mean, that's not the way the game is played now. And when your best athletes, and this is a given, probably the two fastest guys on the team are Epstein and Dudek, or Smalling. And they touch the ball so infrequently, it's an absolute joke. That's all. Yeah. You know, I'm not disagreeing with your viewpoints or anything else, but for a fan to have to sit there and try to support the team, and I realize it's rebuilding, and I know 2 years is too much to expect, but give the first two games. Do that, what, the first game he picks up a punt that's bounced, runs it back 65 yards? There aren't many guys in college football that can do that, but you need somebody to be able to get the ball to those people. Watching Crouch pass is so painful. He is not a talented passer. And he could be a great leader, just a great person. I'm on board all that, but he can still support the team. But put a guy in there who can pass the ball. You look at Ohio State, when they lose, it's because Barrett can't get it done passing. And they won't, they're the same problem they had last year. So, I think it's great to be running. That's amazing that we had two drives. But the end result, we had 6 points this game, and the only reason we scored a couple of times last game was Jeff George came in and completed some passes.
Yeah, I thought surely that at halftime or directly after they would put George in. I didn't understand that. I still don't understand it because Illinois was behind 21-3 at half. They needed to do something dramatic to turn the game around. And
I think what Doug is saying about Mike Dudek is exactly right. That guy is he's a special talented guy, and to make matters even worse, he's waited 2 years to do this.
Well, I understand, and we are getting faster. We're getting more talented. There's light at the end of the tunnel, but to squander the first 2 years of Epstein's career and to squander the last 2 years or the last 3 years of Dudek's career, that's a joke, man. They ought to throw him 15 times because he'll catch 10 of them just because he wants the ball so badly because he doesn't get it.
Okay, got to go, Doug. Thanks. Appreciate it. Final break right here, coming right back. And officials in Las Vegas are confirming there is no connection with an international terrorist group as the investigation continues. As we get texts from time to time, we'll put those on the air for you. The sheriff says the number of people that have died associated with the event has increased. Right now, they're using the number of 58. And the Las Vegas police are saying the confirmed dead is 58, injured is 515. Wow. So the guy evidently had a bunch of guns. What'd you say, Ed? 8 or 10?
10
guns. Had them all set up in two different locations and just fired away. Just awful. Well, Mr. Tate, we have 1 minute to go. It's time for you to make your prediction of the Iowa-Illinois.
Well, I'm shocked Illinois is a 20-point underdog over an Iowa team that lost two in a row, barely beat Iowa State. I mean, barely beat Iowa State. And yet it's at Iowa, and the Illini have shown. I don't know. What are we still going to go with Crouch? I mean, if we do, they're going to load up. Iowa will load up, and they'll be really hard to run against.
They're hard to run against
anyway.
On really good teams.
Barkley could run against them, though, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could.
Did you ever see anything any better than that?
Nope. He had another good game this week.
Yeah. He took the opening kickoff 98 yards.
That was a start.
but he didn't have many yards from scrimmage.
No, but he caught a bunch of passes.
Yeah. Yeah.
An amazing player. Well, thanks for all your calls and all your text messages. We'll do it again next Monday morning. We'll be doing our Monday morning quarterbacking on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana.